Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance back in the saddle after a rough one on Wednesday night in which he couldn't go. He couldn't go, so we brought Jake Myers in. Dell is the Jake Myers of, or is he the Siri? I don't know which one he
Hope
is.
He's the, not the Presley.
He see immediately you go
Hope
right
he's not
to
the Ryan Presley.
Wow, he's well. Is he the closer? Because I don't know. Is because Ryan Presley's the closer and he didn't have a good night last night. So let me ask you this question: were you happier about the Jabari Smith pick, or more disgusted about Ryan Presley? Which one was higher?
That's a hard one because I was so elated with Jabari Smith. I mean, it looked like I told my wife this, for Longhorn fans who are also fans of Houston sports, yesterday was going to be one of their favorite days. With the Astros whacking the Yankees and Jabari Smith falling to the Rockets at 3 and then Arch Manning committing, that's three lead things that we're going to talk about here in the first 2 seconds.
Yeah, Arch committing, yep.
But I can tell you this much, when he blew that so quickly, Ryan Presley with 2 walks and a 3-run homer, I was pretty disgusted. I'm not going to let it, just because I wanted a chance to like get out of this 9-game series at 6-3, 7-2, and maybe they still can, but honestly, I think I'm actually, realistically, I think I'm more happy about Jabari Smith because I think the Rockets just lucked into, I don't know about luck into, because Banchero, I guess, was going to be the guy from, you know, from early in the process with the Magic. Right. I think Jabari Smith might be the perfect fit for the Rockets in terms of who he is as a person, his basketball character. We're going to hear from his coach, Bruce Pearl. This might be the perfect addition to this particular Rockets team.
I agree. And here's the deal is, we didn't talk at all about Jabari Smith. I didn't think there was any chance Jabari Smith was going to fall to 3. And when I saw Banchero's suit and his hair and his chain and how clownish he looked, I was like,
"Hair? That's just how his hair looks."
Well, no, because with the hat on, it looked like a clown. It looked like he had a clown hat on. And so when I saw the suit and the chain and the hat and the whole look, I said, Rockets got it right. The Rockets got it right.
Well, the Rockets didn't have it. The Rockets just had to take what was given to
them. Well, that was, and you know what? Sometimes at number 3, that's exactly what happens, and you get the best player. It's happened numerous times in the NBA.
It really has.
It really has. And Oklahoma City apparently was just locked in on Chet Holmgren. That was their guy. That was what they were going to do. Now, if Jabari went first, I think Holmgren goes second. But if Holmgren went first, I wonder what Oklahoma City would have done. It would have been interesting.
I was crapping my pants waiting for that for them to say Chet. Well, I was previously just because of the stomach thing. But when I'm waiting for them to say Chet Holmgren second, I'm like, oh my God, say Chet Holmgren, say Chet Holmgren, say Chet Holmgren. Don't say Jabari Smith. When they said Chet Holmgren, I was just elated. And then after I listened to Jabari Smith, I watched the cuts of him. I hear the background info that Jay Billis has and some of the guys on set. That really took it to another level because I had no idea he was that level of grinder. In fact, Bruce Pearl, his head basketball coach at Auburn, Bruce Pearl, talked about the work that he's putting in when no one else is around. That's what really makes the kid special. Here's his head coach from Auburn, Bruce Pearl, talking about Jabari Smith.
It's all the off-the-court stuff that makes him unique and special. You know, first off, there's a different level of discipline. This kid's been in the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning for a time he's a ninth grader every day, 5 days a week. He's got a routine to his workout that gives him great, great confidence. He's not a party guy. He ain't going out at night. He's in the gym. He's working on his body. He's working on his game.
He's not a party. He's not a party guy.
Not a party guy.
Well, in Rocket tradition, which didn't James Harden start something here?
Yeah, they're trying to not do that. What? Actually,
see, isn't it like
they'd rather the games matter
at LSU? You get number 18, right?
Yeah.
Because you're for Jacob. That's he set a standard.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a party guy for the Rockets, you get number 13.
Yeah, they're just telling you somebody else can wear 13. It ain't gonna be Jabari Smith. The same thing with the hat and the suit and the chain that you didn't like. Sometimes that comes with party guy too.
Well, did you
see? So you got to take the whole package in now.
Did you see how slick Jabari looked? He looked nice. It was I was so impressed with that young man. Let's hear from Jabari Smith. He's excited to go where he's wanted here. He says, "Hey Rockets fans, this is what he is going to bring to the table."
I'm just going to bring competitive edge, you know, my shooting ability, my ability to score, my ability to guard multiple positions, and just my will to win. You know what I'm saying? I'm a team player, so that's what they're getting.
It'll be interesting to see if this young man doesn't take on a leadership role pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking because – so when you talk about football character, basketball character, it's really – it's less about the personal character. Sometimes that intertwines. You can't help it. The two are going to go hand in hand a lot of times. But when you have high basketball character, meaning you are – it's not just game day, and it's not just the time when the lights are on. It's the other times in between that you stand out, that you are in the gym, that you are working on your game, that it matters that much to you, that it is who you are going to be. Your legacy matters. Your teammates matter to you. The camaraderie of being with the group and watching the group succeed. That all matters. Jabari Smith, from all indications, absolutely has that. He's a guy whose father played in the NBA. He is a player who is a voracious defender, which is always a good sign, which is always the one thing that bothered me a little bit about Banchero is that everyone would say, you know, he's got to work on the defense. He said he got to work on the defense. That's a desire thing. And when Jabari Smith is already guarding multiple players, so what this does is it allows you on switch-off situations. You can switch everything off. And you can switch off knowing that Jabari Smith has the foot quickness, the slide quickness, and the length to help defend. He can guard multiple positions, which allows you to, you know, alter your lineups and play with different lineups. He can shoot at an unbelievable rate. Here's the story that came out yesterday. He was 45 of 50. From beyond the NBA three-point arc in a workout for – now, he wasn't on the move. He was kind of, you know, set shooting. He was 45 of 50 in his workout with the Orlando Magic from beyond three. Has a terrific mid-range shot, is a very accurate shooter from distance. He's not a great playmaker, and which, you know, is fine. He can get better at it. But do you know who the Rockets didn't draft, John, way back in 2006? Because he wasn't good off the dribble. And I know this from talking to the Rockets at the time. They decided to trade for Shane Battier because they didn't believe Rudy Gay was good off the dribble. That was almost singularly one of the big reasons they decided to pass on Rudy Gay and trade him is because they didn't think he could play off the dribble. Rudy Gay ended up being a very, very good player. Shane Battier was great for the Rockets for what they needed.
Yeah, he was perfect for the Rockets.
But they missed on Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay did just fine.
I would argue, though, that was fine.
You can say I'm saying their evaluation of Rudy Gay missed. He was just fine off the dribble and beyond that. So the evaluation of Rudy Gay was wrong. You can become a better player off the dribble, but what I love is that you don't really have to in this offense. I mean, Jalen Green is going to set you up a lot with his ability to penetrate. We saw that with James Harden. That quick blow by creates pressure on defenses and opens up open looks for players like Jabari Smith. But, John, I think they got a potential future leader. They got a guy who's serious and is about ball. They got a guy who can shoot from range, which is huge. And they got somebody who can defend. Shooting from range and defending are two of the major, major issues for the Rockets right now. And he can also block shots. So this is literally the perfect, like, we barely even discussed Jabari because it was considered a long shot. And yet here he is with the Houston Rockets at pick number three. I could not be happier with
him. No, me either. I mean, I was down with Paolo. I mean, I wanted Paolo.
Yeah.
But Paolo was the choice because the other two weren't going to take him. There was never – I never, ever, ever thought that Jabari Smith would be a possibility. Honestly, no matter how it worked out, there is no way Jabari Smith falls to three.
I thought there was a possibility, only because I thought there was a possibility that Banchero was going one. So if Banchero goes one, definitely Oklahoma City could lock in on Chet Holmgren. That could have been their pick regardless. That could have been their first pick of the draft, and that would have opened. Do you know he was plus 1,800 to go third to the Rockets?
Wow. And what was Banchero to go first? It's plus seven?
Well, I mean, at the end, it's like minus 220.
Yeah, but I mean, you could have got him for plus 700.
I know somebody who got him for plus 700.
Yeah.
He was at 1,200. I can just tell you this. Wojnarowski, this is one of the rare times he's been wrong.
Yep.
Because he said yesterday, I guess,
he tweeted it out that it was the sources confirmed that it was the most likely that it was going to be Smith, Holmgren, and then Banchero. Right. But it was pretty secure that was the way it was going to work out. But it did not work out, and worked out perfectly, hopefully perfectly for the Rockets. Tyrese Smith absolutely has a chance to be the best player in this draft. And how about, hey, I really like Duren. I saw Duren play live, Jalen Duren for Memphis, and he can go now. He's going to be a good pro. And they get Jaden Ivey, the Pistons. The Pistons came out of this thing looking really good. They got themselves a couple of good players and basically didn't give much up at all. I thought the Pistons did a really, really nice job yesterday. And the Rockets, Tari Eason, by all accounts, and we'll see how that works. And Ty Washington, the Rockets did a really nice job yesterday. The thing is, you got four first-rounders last year. You got three first-rounders this year. Can you be this young? It's going to be interesting to see how this thing all plays out for the Rockets in the next couple of years, and how many of these guys are actually, by all accounts, they can all go.
Tell you what, if it comes together for a young team, that also leads to long-term sustainability for success.
Absolutely.
We've seen that with the Celtics. So, and certainly have seen it with Golden State Warriors. But once you get to a certain level, I mean, Steph Curry's in his 30s. So, it becomes trickier with the salary cap and things like that. But, yeah, you've got a young team right now, a very young team. But if it comes together with a young team and a young core, your core now is Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, and Alperen Şengün. To me, that's your core. KPJ is somewhere on the outside. I don't know if he's long-term for the Rockets. Jayshon Tate could be a glue guy. We'll find out if he's going to be that glue guy. We'll see what happens with Kenyon Martin Jr., but you do have three guys to me that these are the build-around guys. And so if Kenyon Martin Jr. wants to go, then he can go. I mean, that's fine. You don't want to disrupt who your core is for guys who don't want to be here. That's my feeling.
Yeah, and Tayshaun was first team, all-rookie team 2 years ago. I mean, so there's some talent over there. Whether or not you it's too young to win in the NBA, I don't know. We'll see if they can grow together, or they decide let's package some of these young guys up and get us some veteran leadership in here. We'll see how they go. But I know that Lance wants to puke some blood next segment when we talk about Ryan.
If I had any puking left, it would be blood. I can promise
it would be
you.
Blood, and there will be blood when there Lance talks blood. About Ryan Pressly next. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to talk right now about Chastain Ford. I want to talk about pre-owned vehicles that are on the lot. And my daughter flew all the way here from Oklahoma City to pick up one of these. She said that she'd been looking for the Explorer, and she said it was ridiculous pricing. And she couldn't believe the deal that, not for her, that was on the website at Chastain Ford. And she said, I'm flying down. I want to get that Explorer. She picked up the Explorer, drove it back to Oklahoma City. But it was unbelievable how nice the great deal that she got, how they worked the deal for her. And you can get gold certification on these vehicles. And if you have gold certification, you get unbelievable financing. And that's what they got. and you can get it too, because there's all listen, these pre-owned vehicles, the majority, the vast majority of them are certified, and some, if they're Fords, are gold certified. So you're getting the best in financing as well. You're looking for that pre-owned vehicle, they've got them, plenty of them on the lot right now at Chastang Ford, at the website chastangford.com, or at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What a game last night in Yankee Stadium. It didn't turn out good. The Evil Empire wins. But what a way to start this series. And this is just typical Yankees-Astros. And they were, and the Astros had them down, and then Ryan Pressly comes in. Holy crap. But the way it started, Jose Altuve getting hit by the pitch. And what a bunch of couldn't they be bigger a-holes? The FL2VE chant. Yeah. They can't be worse people. I mean, there's kids in the stands and they're FL2VE. It's just they're just the worst people. I really believe the Yankee, the New York fan was here, the Met fan was here, starting up trouble, being a-holes, okay, and being obnoxious, and then you slapped them down with two wins here. But Yankee fan, Yankee fan is at another level. And they're cheering Altuve, and then Bregman just shuts him up with the three-run shot. Bregman's swinging the bat better.
A lot better.
A lot better.
A lot better. And then Altuve, just every time he got up to bat, hit. He really made the Yankees pay like he usually does.
Oh, my God. And then for Aaron Judge to win this game in Jose Altuve's house, it just sucks. That Aaron Judge, that they would come up with the big ninth inning, and Aaron Judge, of all people, who Yordan is, I believe Yordan has to be right there neck and neck with Judge for MVP right now. Has to be neck and neck. He turned on that. I said yesterday on the show that they need to put a net up in right field, Lance, because somebody's going to get hurt with how hard Yordan. You know, you got the nets around now halfway down the line.
Yep.
They need the net in right field right now, so that because Yordan is going to destroy somebody's face in right field. And sure enough, what does he do? He hits a line shot into those people. And I hope it hits some Yankee fan, not hurting them, you know, permanently, but it's stinging.
It's going to sting. Yeah, it's for sure going to sting.
Absolutely. So what a game. And Ryan Pressly, I know you don't like Ryan Pressly. I know you're not.
I don't dislike the guy. I just don't think he's an actual good closer. I think he's just. I think what he is is a good. I think he's a setup man who has never truly come back from the injury he had a few years back. He hasn't been the same pitcher before his injury. He just hasn't, and I don't know what it is. But I'm tired of these ridiculous. Well, actually, Ryan has 13 saves. Have you ever had 13 saves? Exactly. Ryan has only given up 4 earned runs in the last 15 and a third innings. Okay, now do the inherited runs that he gave up. Oh, because those count too on his ticket. I understand they're not his own earned runs. They're not going to show up. We already know Ryan Pressly is not a guy who gets out with clean innings that often. That's just not his thing. And yesterday, were you able to watch it or were you playing poker?
Yeah, I was watching. I watched
it. I thought he looked so nervous in the game. He did not look like a guy who had great composure to me.
No, it just fell apart. That first at bat with the walk in him. Don't let Stanton crush it. I don't care.
But don't
whatever.
Put him
just
on.
Let him crush it. Let him hit it somewhere, because there's a chance somebody might get in the way of it. And I don't care. Just throw it down the middle with a 3-run lead. You don't walk the first. I mean, come on. The first two guys, just throw it down the middle. Who knows? Maybe somebody hits it into a double play. Maybe they get a 2-run homer. Okay. Then you go after Hicks, whatever the case may be. But don't walk, guys. Oh, my goodness. That just can't be worse. And yeah, you're right. He looked sweaty. He looked like he did. It just didn't look. Listen, he's better than he was last night. I know everybody hate, whatever. Everybody, the hate came raining down. I'm sure there were death threats for him and his family because that's what kind of a-hole people are. But he's better than this. And you know what? He's going to bounce back. He's going to be better than this. He just had a really, really bad night, and it cost you. Now, it's a regular season game in June against the Yankees. I kind of feel like, you know what? That was bad, but you feel like you outplayed him. You do, except one at bat. Anthony Rizzo,
oh my
his
God.
16 pitch at bat.
That was incredible.
Against Fromber. I don't know if Fromber's going to be ruined for his next start. He may not be able to make his next start.
He was right at 100 pitches. What it did, though, is it kept him out of the next inning.
It did. Bring in Neris. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but Neris is good.
I know he was good, but he hasn't been.
Right.
I love Montero, the way he's throwing. Can we get a little more Seth Martinez until he gives up a run, please? A dude has thrown 17 innings without giving up a run. Can we throw him out there more? He has until he shows that he gives up an actual run once. I would like to see more of him in big situations. I don't know. It's just me. What happens with Jake Meyers now?
Well, the belief is he's going to be activated. For those who don't know, Jake Meyers made the trip to New York, and he was not in uniform, was not ready to suit up. Was not activated yesterday, but the belief is he will be activated on this trip.
You saw him there.
When that happens, I mean, I don't know. They could.
Which one do you send down, Siri or McCormick?
I would send down Siri.
I don't know. I don't know. I saw an argument on Twitter. You don't. He's an elite speed, elite center fielder. You don't send him down. You send down McCormick.
Well, Jake,
and if you want to know the truth, McCormick has not looked good.
Here's what I would argue. Jake has elite defense. Jake is a really fast guy, too, and has tremendous defensive range. I think that's what you get with Siri also, but Chaz McCormick has, I think, better potential to hit the home run off the bench than Jose Siri, but we'll see. I mean, you can make the argument either way. I don't really care. Doesn't upset me either way, whoever goes down. Let's get the other Eric in here. He wants to jump on and talk a little ball with us. What's up, Eric? We got to find out what. Okay, let's get Mito in here. What's up, Mito?
Mito.
Mito.
What's going on?
Hey. Who pimped out their third home run of the year better, Siri or Aaron Hicks?
Aaron Hicks definitely needs one in the air today.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, no. There's a difference, though. Aaron Hicks at least has some he has some pelts. Aaron Hicks it was in the ninth inning, and he tied the ball game, a three-run shot against your vaunted rivals. I don't know if they're vaunted rivals, but tell you what, the Yankees definitely do not like the Yankees, and Yankees fans definitely don't like the Astros. But that was a situation, not an 8-2 game. That's when Siri's pimping it out. In an 8-2 game, you don't do that. But him raising his arm and standing there. Now, I tell you what, I'm not. I hated it and everything else. But if I'm a Yankee fan, how happy? I mean,
you got to be thrilled. You did it against the Astros.
Yeah. Who's been your daddy? You did it against your dad. You finally beat your dad in 1-on-1 in the driveway.
Were you happy with Dusty pitching Aaron Judge? Because I know that. I wasn't crazy about it, and I know Twitter really wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, you know, what is it? And then you got a right-hander against the lefty Rizzo. I don't know. Was there anything good was going to come out of that inning? That was the worst inning of the season. It's not even arguable. That was the worst. If you had your highest moment when you came back against the Rangers, okay, you had your lowest moment of the season in that ninth inning. There was nothing that was going to stop that. You know, listen, Presley. He. That was predetermined. Presley started it, and Stanek finished it. Stanek has been excellent, so I'm not going to give. Aaron Judge beat you. One of the best hitters in second best hitter in baseball beat you. Oh well, that's how it is. That's fine. But Yeah, I guess you could have walked him and faced Rizzo. You got Rizzo and then Stanton after that. What are you going to do?
I know, but the idea is don't let the MVP candidate beat you.
That's true. I know. Well, Papa, you know what? Papa but gets you're a feeling. Also going Papa righty. Loves right left.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're going righty righty instead of righty lefty. So, you know, and you had seen Rizzo have a great at bat, just a great at bat previously. I can't say enough about that at bat. Right now, for the month of June, it's he's pitched 2, 4, 6, 8 times. The WHIP is 1.57 for Ryan Pressly. Batting average against 2.69. I mean, ERA obviously 7.71. It's going to be higher. But the thing that really bothers me about Ryan Pressly is he's had at least 3 games that I can recall where he got himself in big trouble and then, you know, had a double play to get out of it, and that's great, or a fly out to the wall. Like, I'm not interested in the long. I've done that before with Gregerson and Ken Giles, and then you have. It's a relatively small amount of people, but then you have Astros Twitter, somebody who will always try to tell you, well, now, wait a minute. Luke Gregerson, remember that one guy who was trying to tell everyone that Ken Giles was basically, quote-unquote, basically dominant? Like, how are you trying to lie right to our faces?
No. Yeah, listen, he has struggled. I said it to my buddy. Pressly's not good in a 3-run game. He's just not good in a 3-run. And that happens to a lot of closers, that their focus is not there like it should be with a 1-run game.
Yeah, you're
that
not
the
a closer
urgency
than a
isn't there in a 3-run
but
game.
But that means you're not a closer.
Well, here's the deal, is a lot of times in that instance, the smartest thing to do is just throw it over the middle and let them hit the ball. But in some instances, that doesn't work out. In Pressly's instance, he walks the first two guys.
Walks the first two.
Oh, my gosh.
The bombers.
He did exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to do in a 3-run game. That is unbelievable. I mean, maybe he didn't have his stuff. You know what? He didn't have control of what I got. You know, it happens. I'm not giving up on Ryan Stanley, on Ryan Pressly. He's going to be much better as the season goes along. I honestly think he can be the closer for a World Series team. I do. But he just didn't have it last night. And you know what? Tip your hat. Now you go at him today and you try to get that one back and get, you know what? In Jose Altuve's house, you go and you show those people.
Well, Dusty Baker had a quick comment on the loss to the Yankees. Here's Dusty's thoughts.
Trades were wild all night. There was only 3s on the board up there on both sides, and you know, they push across that fourth run, you know, that, you know, they say walk for Han, and, you know, usually press is great. He just didn't have his command tonight. You know, we left a lot of scoring opportunities out there, and, you know, they took it from us tonight.
He hadn't pitched on back-to-back days since mid-May. How much do you think maybe that affected him after he pitched yesterday?
Yeah, probably did, but, you know, we got to go back to back at some point in time. And I'm sure Press, you know, he's not the guy to make excuses. You know, he's been so good. Our bullpen's been so good, you know, all year. And just things started unraveling, and then we couldn't put it back. And it was a tough one to lose, especially here because we played such a good game tonight. And got some guys that swung a whole lot better. Guys are getting better. So, it's a tough one to swallow, but it's baseball. You got to swallow it, and whether you like it or not. So we just got to come back tomorrow and beat it tomorrow and score more runs.
That's it. Score more runs than they did. All right. When we come back.
Well, 6 is enough.
Six should be enough. But you know what? I said this. You got, okay, if it turns into a 10-9 game, then it's a 10-9 game. This is a historic offensive team. So you know what? Then you got to score 10. And you could have, if Siri comes up with 2 on and nobody out and can get runners along as opposed to popping out to fouling out. I mean, you got to score. If you have to score more runs, then you have to score more runs. That's all there is to it. And you know what? Sometimes the closer screws up. He screwed up. But sometimes the offense screws up too. Then they scored 7, then score 8. That's all. And you know what? You're going to have to do that because you need another bat in the lineup. And hopefully Jake Myers is going to be that bat. When we come back, Texas is back, folks. We will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I want to talk about Champion Energy. If you're looking to be a champion, it's easy. How about saving more money than you are right now? How about putting more money in your pocket as opposed to the electricity company? How about a locally owned and operated company? How about a company that does stuff in the community? How about helping, you know, your fellow Houstonians as opposed to be sending it to a national place? It's right here in Houston. It's Champion Energy. They do it right. They give you your electricity at a lower price. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
If you missed it yesterday, if you're on Twitter, I don't know how you missed it, but Arch Manning. I mean, and this has been, Arch Manning is visiting. Arch Manning just went to the toilet. Arch Manning is getting a ham sandwich. Arch Manning, Arch Manning. It's been so, oh my gosh, I thank God he finally said where he's going, because every time he popped up in his private jet to some other school, it was like, oh my gosh, Arch Manning, I got Arch Manning. I'm sick of Arch Manning. He looks like, I mean, I'm watching highlights of him. He looks like a really good quarterback. He doesn't look like he's playing against the best of competition. I don't know.
Well, same thing was said about Peyton Manning when he came out of Newman. It's the same school.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's a...
It's the same school. It's a private school in New Orleans. Yeah. In New Orleans, you either go to parochial schools or the public schools are really rough. The parochial schools, a lot of athletes will go there. He played against decent competition at Newman, but I mean, Louisiana high school football is there's some really good talent that comes out of there, but it's not as deep. And he's, you know, physically, Peyton Manning wasn't the most physically imposing guy. He had good size. He's, you know, Arch Manning is, he's a Manning.
Yeah.
Eli Manning. There's a lot of Super Bowls and Hall of Fames apparently that's going to be rolling into the Manning family. Yeah. And this is world famous Cooper Manning's son.
He's Cooper's kid.
So I know this much. I'm really interested to see what happens with Quinn Ewers. Is it time to go take another NIL deal at like Mississippi State? Where's he transferring now? Is my question. Where does Quinn Ewers go? Because bounce at a heartbeat. It doesn't take much for him to bounce.
So what? Yeah, what does happen there?
I don't know.
Does Quinn Ewers stay? And Quinn Ewers, I mean, maybe we got to get our guy, our Aggie, our Longhorn guy on here. What's his name that runs the website, the Orange Bloods?
Who, Jeff Ketchum?
Yeah, Ketchum. We got to get Ketch on here to see what he thinks, what's going to happen here.
We'll see what happens, but Arch has still got school. I mean, he's still got a year of school.
Yeah.
And so this will be, you know, his second year, Quinn Ewers, although last year was a redshirt year. So he'll play this year, and then it's going to get really interesting. Is Arch Manning willing to redshirt for a year while Quinn Ewers plays? I don't know. Arch has no NIL deals in place right now that are known publicly. If he wants him, his recruiting process, I read an article about it on The Athletic, his recruiting process, his dad said, quote, we want it to be like something that happened in the 70s, where we want it to be, you know, the kid, he didn't want to do the hat thing, he didn't want to do, you know, where people wine and dine him or do whatever. He just wanted it to be just an old-fashioned recruiting process where it was not over the top. They wouldn't even entertain NIL stuff at all right now. And so
no, and you know what? And I think, and that's great. That is awesome. As opposed to the kid that's going now. That kid that's going to Tennessee. Did you see that video that Raheel sent?
Yeah, I'd seen it before. The quarterback.
Yeah, that quarterback that's going to Tennessee. Uh-huh. He looks spectacular. He's already got an $8 million deal. Congratulations on the recruiting process. So Nick Saban is going to come after them next, how they were able to land that kid. I like it that – and listen, the thought is this, too. I remember Bubba Crosby when he went to Rice. Bubba Crosby's and this is how they end up winning a national championship. Bubba, you only get 11.2 scholarships for baseball. And Bubba Crosby's dad said, no, we're well off. We'll pay for his school. Don't worry about that. So that scholarship can go to somewhere else. And what I, for, as I understand it, or I think that it's going with Arch Manning, is the NIL, he, that they don't care about it, the NIL money, and the NIL money can go to somebody else that is in need of it. And you know what? That's very, that's extremely, that's like if Davis Mills plays really, really well and you're not paying a big-name quarterback or a first-round quarterback, man, the money that you can save and how you can put it elsewhere and get better players around. That's what happens when guys come up with, you know, when Arch Manning says, I'm not going to take the money, guys, there's more money for guys elsewhere. Whether or not, there's probably unlimited money at the University of Texas anyway, I guess that might not be the case. But that it isn't all about, I've got to grab as much as I possibly, let me be as greedy and let me grab as much as I possibly can. It's a little bit refreshing. Yeah, and I hope, I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, it is refreshing. He also is in a position where, you know, it's not even really a consideration for that family. So he's in a little different situation where some other players will come from situations where they are going to, the money is going to be the focus. But you know what? We shouldn't just beat up Arch Manning because he's not just jumping headfirst into every decision be NIL. Because we all know with the tech money that's there, with the university money that's there, Arch Manning can have a mega deal, and maybe will have one once he's at the University of Texas. But I think they wanted this to not be to not they wanted it to just be about the football and the process of getting to know coaches. And I'll tell you what, we joke about University of Texas because we've done this whole Texas is back stuff a billion times. And the reality is this is really starting to feel a little bit different right now because they're starting to get five-star linemen that I think have some ability. You're starting to build trenches. You grab two quarterbacks who are at the top of the, you know, the food chain, supposedly. We'll see if yours is. I think Arch is going to end up being the real deal. Texas may be putting together, once you get a certain amount, eventually, once you get the Jimmys and Joes, the wins and losses start, and the X's and O's fall in place, and the wins and losses start coming into focus. So, John, I think that I think these are real. This recruiting class right here is potentially a real turning point. And I would also argue if you look at Nick Saban's first year at Alabama, you look at Mack Brown's first year at University of Texas, there's a lot of times successful coaches get off on a slippery, you know, take a slippery step their first year. That's not unusual for some of the good coaches that have been out there. So I wouldn't necessarily judge Sarkisian in Texas by the 1 year, although I would tell you the 1 year made it seem to me that they needed to get some guys out of there. But, I mean, with the portal, you can chase some guys out of the portal as quickly as you can bring them in. So maybe Texas gets some guys out of that portal, knock them out of the program, and get guys in who really want to get after it. And I think Texas is putting some things together. I know that they're just going to be – until they do it, we've heard this story a million times.
Yeah, so, let's see it on the field. Yeah. And here – Quinn Ewers, it just kicked up a notch. Let's say Quinn Ewers plays great this year. Let's say Quinn Ewers is spectacular. I mean, does that change anything? Because then does Arch Manning come? I'm sure they didn't. You know, I bet you the Manning said you don't have to promise him starting. You know, and you know what? They picked a place with a guy who just came in here, who's one of the top recruits in the country with Quinn Ewers. And they said, you know what? We don't care. We're going to go there. This is where we like it best. We believe in Sark or whatever the case may be. We love Austin, whatever the case may be. Arch Manning felt most comfortable coming to the University of Texas and with Quinn Ewers on board. You know what? That's pretty cool, actually, that he goes. You know, a lot of times a kid will just go to a place because, well, there's no competition there. That's where I'm going. Well, you're going to a place with a kid who's got, by all accounts, one of, if not the most NIL money, and he was one of the biggest recruits in the country over the last 2 years, and he's literally been recruited 2 years and while he was in college as well. So it's refreshing all the way around with this Arch Manning thing, if you want to know the truth. And we'll see how it all plays out. We'll see if Quinn Ewers actually stays, and we'll see whether or not, maybe Arch Manning sits his first year. That's a real possibility. Maybe
well,
he redshirts.
Yeah, we'll see if he does. Like, not a whole lot of five-star quarterbacks sit their first year.
No,
that's pretty rare. So I don't know if that's going to be the case. But You know, here's something that Mack Brown would never do: recruit a five-star behind a five-star. Right. Ever, 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 ever. Mack, that's not good to the kids, and the kids are upset, and the kids get upset when you recruit guys who might be competition. We don't need competition here at University of Texas. Competition's bad. It makes kids scared, and it makes them sad, and they need safe spaces. You know what Nick Saban does? I don't F your feelings. I don't care what you think. If you're not tough enough to deal with competition, just go ahead and get out. We don't care.
Yeah.
We just want a whole roster full of we want a whole roster full of velociraptors who are running around and destroying everything in their presence. Everything. We don't care. And if they're competitive, they will stick it out and eventually go to the NFL because they'll get their time, and once they find their time, they're going to be really good. At Texas, it was Mack Brown was like, it was so nobody could have any competition behind him. I love this. Sark just went right behind Ewers and grabbed Arch Manning.
Yeah. How about this? How about this? And Quinn Ewers is probably going, what the hell? But you know what? Hey, son, play well. You know what? It lights a fire under that kid. Quinn Ewers this year, got to play well. And you know what? The pressure's on him. It should be with how much money he's making. And you know what? That with that money comes the pressure. 744 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A little turn into the Deshaun Watson situation yesterday. We'll talk about that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get low when the whistle goes. Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Father of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. Astros lose in the ninth inning, just a heartbreaker. The Rockets get Jabari Smith, surprisingly, you get Jabari Smith. Also, Tari Eason. We're going to find out how that good that goes. And I think is it Ty-Ty Washington?
Ty-Ty.
Some people were misspelling it on Twitter. That is just ugly. Okay, it's Ty-Ty. There's no I. Okay, it's Ty-Ty. And then Arch Manning commits to the University of Texas. Then Deshaun Watson, and you know what? This story is becoming more and more remote for us now. As long as the Texans aren't going to be part of the punishment phase, you know, we had on Adam Schefter and asked him about that, whether or not the Texans would be. And I don't think he's heard. I don't think there has been much rumbling about the Texans' part in this and whether or not they're going to face any disciplinary action. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Hopefully, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, but this thing is becoming more and more. This is more Cleveland's problem. This isn't our problem anymore. It all happened here, so it's obviously a story. But apparently, you know what? It's kind of a big deal. If he's suspended for a year, then the Texans get a better draft pick. So that's kind of a big deal if he sits for the entire year. But apparently, the negotiations between the NFLPA, Deshaun Watson's people, and the NFL broke down. They fell apart because they're so far apart on the suspension. I don't ever remember. Do you ever remember it publicly? Now, maybe this, and somebody said on Twitter, hey, this happens all the time, you know, the PA or whomever.
I've never heard this.
I've never heard of it either.
I've never heard of them working together on a suspension. A lot of people read that as really bad news for Deshaun Watson. But the PA, you know, some people, and I read one guy, it was just somebody on Twitter who said, this is bad sign for the Player Association because for the NFL because they realize that the judge who is going to be the federal judge who's going to be in charge of handing out the punishment. Remember, it's not Roger Goodell anymore. That the federal judge is going to look at this and he's going to look at there's no indictments and blah 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 and there's going to be no punishments. Like the NFL wants to go down the road of many, you know, want to negotiate a long punishment phase. And the NFL Players Association realizes, wait a minute. No, we think it needs to be shorter. So I don't know. I still think a year is what we're going to see.
I doubt that.
It could be
shorter. Because
you,
of that.
You think it's going to be shorter?
Because, yeah, because I go different every day. I feel like something different. But because of that, because it's so silly, because the people that are doling out the punishment are the ones that have intimate knowledge of everything, have talked to people, are behind the scenes. You know, probably there's a lot of information that they don't want to get out public, so that they're keeping it all under wraps, and they know, but they know everything, right? And so all of a sudden, here comes a judge, an arbiter on the deal, as opposed to the people that are intimate in the information. And they can decide, well, on a legal standpoint, and that's exactly what we don't need here. We don't need on a legal standpoint. What they need is like a Trevor Bauer situation. Major League Baseball said, no, this is a horrible look. We don't want you around. And you know what? You're not good for our game. We don't want you around. And you know what? That's exactly what's happened here. But football now, with this negotiation in the collective bargaining agreement, now it becomes more of a legal thing. And we've seen how the legal process is. Unless there's a preponderance of evidence, and a judge is not going to take this on. The DA is not going to take this on. And a judge is going to look at it, well, hey, there was no bills. Hey, so apparently they think that nothing happened here. So, you know what? We're going to go easy on them. But when we know how the damage that Deshaun Watson is doing to the league. We know how bad this looks, and how the NFL has reacted previously with these domestic violence or sexual assaults, and they want to straighten it up, and they want to send a message to the rest of the guys in the league. You can't get away with this stuff. And yeah. in less than a year, or less than a really penal punishment for Deshaun Watson, is really sending a message to the rest of the guys. Oh, look, Deshaun had 25 women come forward, and he's playing. That's not good for the league.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the players wanted the commissioner out of it, and that was collectively bargained. So the commissioner.
Of course they do, because he was too harsh on them.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, not always. You thought that Ray Rice penalty was
harsh? No. But he realized he made a mistake in that one.
And Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was Goodell there, or was that Tagliabue?
That was Goodell, wasn't it?
That wasn't harsh. That wasn't a harsh penalty either.
Well, what did they go, 6-4?
Yeah.
With 6-4, right?
6-4. Yeah, I would argue that the players, I don't know. I think the idea that Rodgers has been too harsh, when you look at it, what you're asking for and what a lot of people expect from Deshaun Watson, the NFL has actually never given that penalty out. With the gambling penalty, with, you know, the issue that is at bay with, in place with, Calvin Ridley, gambling, automatic year. I think there should be certain penalties you just say you're out for the year.
Yeah.
You're going to miss the year.
Let me ask you this. If Rodg was deciding this right now, and it wasn't collectively bargained that the way that it's going right now, and it was just Roger Goodell, do you think it would have been it would be harsher?
I think it would be a year. I think it's going to end up being a year regardless.
You do. You do.
Yeah, I think it would be a year. I think that I think a federal judge is going to look at this and understand, yeah, the indictment thing really does not play into this at all, because we understand that in this particular case, you are not going to be able to win that case, because there's no physical evidence. You're not going to be able to win a criminal case. It's going to be extraordinarily hard with no physical evidence and everything being hearsay. So I think a federal judge will understand. I mean, Kim Ogg, the DA, came out and said, look, just because we didn't bring charges, that does not mean that's a proclamation of innocence for Deshaun Watson at all. She came out and said that on Mike Meltzer's podcast. So I think that somebody in the legal system, I don't really think just because it's a federal judge, they're going to understand that a no bill does not necessarily mean that there's nothing that happened. And we know there was no charges for Ezekiel Elliott, and he still got six games. Some would argue that was that harsh enough? When you saw the girl's face and the marks on her arm and things like that, was it harsh enough? Was that, I mean, that's domestic violence if you believe that that actually happened. But here's the problem. Dallas police did not even press charges when they gathered information. They didn't press charges. The NFL gathered information. They suspended him for about six games. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see if the NFL takes into account the fact that Deshaun was not, no charges were pressed against Deshaun, which is possible, John. They could say, you know what, we need an unprecedented penalty for this. However, we do not think it should be a year, so we're going to go 8 games. They could do something like that. They could balance out their common sense and the information they've gathered versus no criminal charges being posed.
So we were talking yesterday about Freddie Freeman going back to Atlanta. Yeah. And Dell was like, oh, baseball fans are stuck. That'd be like Jose Altuve coming back in the final years if he goes somewhere else and everybody booing him. You know what? Jose Altuve would get a standing ovation.
Wait,
George Springer got a standing ovation
did
for
Freeman
going.
Did Freeman get booed?
No. But there was a question on Twitter, do Atlanta fans boo him? And I thought it was the dumbest question ever.
No way.
He's going to get a standing ovation. Yes. He won him a world title. He should have his jersey retired there. There should be a statue of Freddie Freeman in Atlanta. That's how good he was in Atlanta. So that's not going to happen. What about if Deshaun, first 8 games, he suspended the first 8 games? The Cleveland is here in the second half of the season. Does Deshaun get a standing ovation when he comes back here to Houston?
No.
Does he get do some people boo him?
Deshaun Watson?
Yeah,
I got a funny feeling he's going to get booed by some people.
You think so?
Yeah, I got a funny feeling.
You think that he might get booed here?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's going to be a smattering of applause.
Some people are going to stand and cheer for him, but I would say a majority of people, I'd say over 75% of the people, maybe 80% will be booing him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But it's just, I hate that. You jumped off the couch yesterday when Chet Holmgren was announced. I jumped off the couch.
I didn't jump anywhere. I just did a tiny, tiny fist pump.
You did a fist pump? I thought you didn't even dab.
No, I didn't even dab.
You didn't dab when you knew Jabari Smith was coming here?
I couldn't even dab. I was not in great shape yesterday. I'm drinking a Gatorade today, so I'm feeling a little bit better.
Are you drinking that one that rehydrates? Well, what about a Howe water? You know how water rehydrates you.
Yeah. Well, I can't. We don't have any in the building. I need some how water right now.
Well, come on, people. Get Lance the how water he needs.
Give me the how.
How about drinkhowwater.com? It will hydrate you. I'm telling you. Get drinkhowwater.com. Lance, order it. Let's go. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, more sound from our Astros, that big game yesterday. And what a heartbreaker. We will talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.